definitely shouldn't have asked the guy to remember.
Morning, everyone. Okay, let's catch up. We are on Daf Yud Beis, and today's Daf is Yud Gimel. And to be even further honest, we're in the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So let's make a move. Let's make a move to catch up. What do we see in the Mishnah? That she needs a bedika. A woman needs to do a bedika twice, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. Now this is the Mishnah telling us that some women don't have to do a bedika. Anita doesn't have to do bedika. Yeshevas al Dam Torah doesn't need to do bedika. We discussed this yesterday. And every time she's going to be with her husband, she needs to do a bedika, except for Yosheves al Dam Torah and a Besula, who is Damei Taharim, whose blood anyway is Tahar. Good. And then the Mishnah goes into detail regarding how she does a bedika. Pa'amayim etzricha lios bedeka. She needs to do it twice. I'm just going back to the Mishnah. I'm rereading the Mishnah, and then we're going to start with the Gemara. So the Mishnah says that she has to do a bedika twice. Pa'amayim etzricha lios bedeka shachris v'ben hashmashos, both in the morning and in the evening, twilight. And every time she's going to have relations with her husband. And then a kohanes, however you want to pronounce it, she has to do an additional bedika every time she wants to eat truma. Good. The Gemara, now, we start off with a statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Please remember, from this point forward, it's Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Why do I make such a big deal about that? So you'll see later on that's going to be very important. This halacha that a woman has to do a bedika is only for taharos, but if it's for just for her husband, so then it's mutter. As we have discussed already from the very beginning of the Masechta, our parak really focuses on taharos. You got to remember that Masechta Nida is in Seder taharos. So really, there are two issues. I've discussed this from the very beginning of our Masechta. There are two issues of a woman being a Nida. Number one is that she's metame. Number two is that she's prohibited to her husband. So one's a tum of a tahara issue, and one's an esav heter issue. There are two distinct issues. And what you see from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is this point very clearly, is that when it comes to taharos, so that's our Mishnah's requirement. Our Mishnah says bedika in the morning, bedika in the evening, she's going to have relations with her husband, bedika again, but that has nothing to do, this is Shmuel talking, but that has nothing to do with her being with her husband. Meaning it's incidental. It happens to be that when she has relations with her husband, it happens to be a time where she might start her nida, and she'll be metame. Not so much her husband, meaning, yeah, of course she would be, but in other words, it would be a time where she'll lose the sense of whether or not she started her nida cycle. So therefore, let her do a bedika. Let her do one before and let her do one afterwards as well. Good. But Shmuel's saying that's only when she's dealing with taharas. But if it's just an issue of having relations with her husband, she's fine. She doesn't need to do a bedika if she's going to have relations with her husband, because the assumption is that she is not going to be, she's not going to become a nida. Now, just in general, this is just a general point. Meaning, if you think about this, right, that's what we're going to do now. If you think about this, so you realize what's more of an issue? Yeah, I'm with you. What's more of an issue? Is it more of an issue that she's a nida sleeping with her husband, or is it more of an issue that she's metame taharas? Okay, if you just put on your halachic thinking cap, right, not your, right, right, just look at the penalties. Meaning, a woman who is a nidu, has relations with her husband, that's an esekares.
Right.
Okay, that's as serious as it gets, right? There's only 36 of them in the Torah. And karmen chatos that comes along with it if a person does a bishoge. So in other words, it's extraordinarily serious. If you're metame taharos, okay.
It's tumma.
Yeah, in other words, it's tumma. And even if you're going to go into the Beis HaMikdash, all right, so then you can get to the discussion of there being, kares. But right, in other words, we're just talking about the concern of the proliferation of tumah. So right, so when you think about it, you realize, and I did the same thing you did also. In other words, just from a punishment standpoint, it seems like we should be more machmir to our husband, and it will be clear from this daf, which is really yesterday's daf, it will be clear from this daf that's just the other way. That when it comes to a woman, we're much more concerned about her proliferation of tumah than we are about her being a nida vis-a-vis her husband. Okay,
but that's Lama Freya, and this is, she already touched the things here, it's going to be in the future, right? So there's no reason to.
Okay, so the okay, So he makes a suggestion, all right, Rabbi Kornfeld's notes. It's a big issue. In other words, and I'm not sure if I'm going to have the best explanation for this, or in other words, it's something to really think about. So in his notes, he points out that you see the Torah's care and regard for Tumah. Meaning, he notes that, and we learned this back in Masechta Shavuos, that every time we have a Yantuf, we bring a Karban Chatas. Why do we bring a Karban Chatas? Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Every Rosh Chodesh, we bring a Karban Chatas. Why? Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Meaning that you see that the Torah goes out of its way to like give us like opportunities for Kapara, just on the case, just perhaps because we may be finding Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. So you see that the Torah has a certain Hakpada when it comes to the issue of Tumah V'Tahara. So that maybe that's why here in our Masechta we see that regarding the woman as well. Okay. I enjoy the question a little bit more than the explanation I just offered, but it's certainly something to think about. Okay, now let's go to the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Pshita. I'm sorry. Did I skip a little bit? Yes, I did. Pshita. Shacharis Tanan. So the Gemara says, well, it's obvious because our Mishnah talking says Shacharis. And Shacharis is not a time when a man has relations with his wife. So it's clear that our Mishnah is talking about Taharas. Ela I itmar sefe itmar v'shashi over. So Shacharis is beta. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. What you misunderstood is what Shmuel was commenting on. He wasn't commenting on that line of the Mishnah. He was commenting on the next line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on to say, "I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel Loshanu Labisha Suka B'Taharos Demigu Debay Bedika L'Taharos By Nami Bedika L'Bala Avalein of Suka B'Taharos L'Bay Bedika." It's on the next line of the Mishnah. We're going to make the same exact point. You just misunderstood what he was talking about. When the Mishnah says, and when she has relations with the husband, she needs to do a bedika, now you get to hear Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, where he says, yes, but that's only when she is dealing with Taharos. So really, she's only doing a bedika incidental to the fact that she's working with Taharos. That's why she needs to do a bedika while having relations with her husband. But if it's just relations with her husband, and she's not dealing with Taharos, no bedika is required. Good, it's the same point. So my kamash malanta nina. So the Gemara says, okay, but isn't this a Mishnah? Meaning, isn't what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel saying nothing more than just a Mishnah? And obviously, if it's a Mishnah saying it, then he's just gravy and he wouldn't just be teaching us something that we already know from a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol hanashim becheskas tara liva alehen. It's a Mishnah later on. We'll get to it sometime later this week. Okay, every woman is mutter to her husband. And not just mutter to her husband, becheskas tara son. The presumption is, they're fine. So ima masis and have amin hani milibi sheish lavest. Here's what I might have thought. That Mishnah later on, coming up, that Mishnah is only talking about a woman who has a fixed cycle. Where there you can understand, she's clockwork. This woman knows to the day when her vest is coming, when her haskalas nida is coming. So for that woman, I could say all the days in between, we have no doubt. But what about a woman she'ain lavest? A woman who does not have a fixed cycle, who's irregular. So for that woman, now you can understand. It's a moving target. When is she going to become a Nida next? You don't know. So now because you don't know, let's require a Bedika. Right? Now, that you hear. So the Gemara says, Aval Isha Shein Laves by Bedika. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Mashmo is coming to teach us. Good, that's a novel Chiddush. So V'ham Asitzim B'Isha Sheish Laves Taskinan. The Gemara says, yeah, but isn't our Mishnah also talking about a woman who has a regular schedule? The Gemara says, no, that's a false assumption. Our Mishnah is talking about both, a woman with a regular and irregular schedule. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, here's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. And listen carefully, it's a nice Chiddush. It's a Chiddush that goes the other way. Meaning, even a woman who has a fixed schedule, here's the argument you can make. She knows when it's coming. This woman is operating on a fixed schedule. And our Mishnah is coming to teach us that if she's dealing with Taharos, she still needs to do a Bedika. Even though she's clockwork. Even though she knows it's not coming for another 10 days. She can literally mark it on her calendar when it's coming. Nevertheless, if she's working with Taharos, she still needs to do a Bedika when she's Meshamish Levesa, when she's having relations with her husband. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Okay, good. So far, so good. We have now the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and it's set. Meaning, what we've now learned from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is that if it's just between her and her husband, and Taharos is not in the picture, no bedika is required, and even for a woman who doesn't have a vested kavua. Okay, so far so good. We continue.
And the question comes back to what you said.
Right. Then the big question, which again is a big question, and I don't have a good approach. The ha'amar Shmuel chada zimna. So the Gemara says, here's the problem. Shmuel already taught us this. Meaning, again, as I told you from the very beginning of today's daf, just remember, the first statement comes via Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and now the Gemara is going to give us another statement. The Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah, Amar Shmuel, now another statement made in the name of Shmuel. Now, but mind you, right, let's all pay careful attention. This is not Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, this is Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah, Amar Shmuel. It's a different Amora quoting Shmuel, Isha Shein Laves, Astor L'Shamish Ad Shetiv Dok. A woman who doesn't have a fixed schedule, she needs to do a bedika. And that statement is only talking about when she's dealing with taharos. Okay, good. So in other words, so we have now two statements that are made in Shmuel, and they are really overlapping one another. It's the same statement.
It says,
correct. But if we stopped there alone, we wouldn't have known. It's the continuation. It's only because of the continuation that we know that. From the statement itself, you wouldn't know. It's only because
it's part of the brisa.
It's not a brisa. It's a memra.
Right.
It's fine. But it's basically the same point. So the Gemara right now at this point says, well, really, it was said only one time, and another time it was implied. And so therefore, right now, what we're saying, and I'm going to be clear about this right now, later on I'm going to say something else, but right now what we're going to say is, really Shmuel said it one time, and the other time he made and more of an implicit statement, and so, but really there's only one memra, and there's one quasi-memra, meaning it was based on a subtlety that Shmuel said. Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to support exactly what we just stated. Good. Braisa says it clearly that if she's dealing with Tahara, she needs to do a Bedika. But if it's just for her husband, Mutaris. But that's only when he left his wife, she was Becheskas Tahara. But let's say when he went away on a small business trip, so his wife was Anida, La'olam hi bitumasa. She is going to be in a presumed state of tumah unless she actually verbalizes and says to her husband, "Tahara ani." Okay, because when he left her with a certain chazaka, and she could have done her bedikas and gone to mikvah and changed her status, but she has to articulate. She has to tell her husband that.
Now they say there's a fixed
time. Presumably.
Why? She's a fixed time.
If she has a fixed time, that only means that, in other words, for her to become a nida to a non-nida, she has to go through mikvah. She has to do something.
Right.
She has to tell you that she did it.
Oh, okay.
Top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. By me ne Rabbi Zera me Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the Gemara asks the following question from Rabbi Yehuda. Isha, mao shetiv dok asma labala. Okay? So the question starts off like this. Does she need to do an examination for her husband? Now the question is very clear, meaning if we're not talking about taharos right now, we're just talking about liva Allah for her husband. Amalei, lo tivdok. So his answer is very clear, consistent with what we saw in the beginning of today's daf. No, she shouldn't. Good. The tivdok amabakach, so the Gemara makes a suggestion, well, let's be machmir. Let's have her do bedika. What have you got to lose? So the Gemara says, no, you have a lot to lose. Imkin libo nogfo parish. So the Gemara says, no, you have a lot to lose. Because she's doing a bedika, it will put fear in the man's heart.
Right.
Meaning, why is she doing a bedika right now? Oh, maybe because she thinks that her nida is coming. And then, it's going to put fear in the man's heart, and he's going to say to himself, you know what, maybe not tonight.
There'll be no children.
Right, and correct, and it's always going to be a concern of period virivia, and there's also a mitzvah of ona. So not ona, ona. Right, ona is something else. So anyway, lo tivdok v'tivdok ma'abakach imkein ligbo nokfu parsh. Baminei Rabbi Abba miravuna. Isha ma'ahu shetivdok asma kishir vest. Kedei l'chayiv ba'alachatas. Another question, interesting question. The Gemara asks to Rav Huna, and as the following. Okay, good. No bedika before tashmish. Good. And that part I get. How about just right after? And what do you gain by that? Well, her husband can now bring a carbon chatas. Okay. Okay. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting that the Gemara takes the position that, like, in other words, let's start like this. We understand that if he was Bo'al Nida, if he has to bring a carbon chatas, it's almost like the questioner was wondering, like, should we not encourage the carbon chatas? I'm looking for the right words to say it. I'm not sure if I have the right words. But not encourage the carbon chatas, but basically look for the carbon chatas. Meaning, there's a possible, right, possible chiyuv krisus over here. The husband's being bold, his wife who is currently in Nida. It's possible, but to go and seek it out and search it out. So this is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara over here starts off on a very technical question, and it's just a timing issue. Meaning, look, and we've said this so many times, all a bedika can do is tell us that she's a nida, right? Or what are the things that a bedika can tell us? Either that she hasn't been a nida up until the very point of bedika, can't tell anything about the future, right? That's number one. And even if she's bodik and she finds out that she's bleeding. But that only tells us that she's a nida as of now. It doesn't say anything about 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, or even 30 seconds ago. It's possible that she's been in nida for over a minute, but that's only a possibility. That's not an absolute. The Hatanya. Now, this is a Mishnah coming up later on. Ezu shir vest mashal shamash ve'ed. Shomdim etzad ha-mashkof. What is shir vest? What is this time where you're doing an immediate examination, which will result in a carbon chatos? It has to be where, as he leaves, that very moment, without any break whatsoever, she then wipes herself. And that's only enough time for a wipe, not for an internal examination. Meaning, for an internal examination, it will take a second or two longer. And that makes all the difference. Because for an internal examination, all you can say at best is, maybe, while they are having relations, she was anida. But you don't know that definitely. And that would not elicit a carbon chatas. So Allah so that's just a technical issue. So the Gemara says, fine. So let's get past the technical issue. Allah Mao Shitakaneach. Fine. So I'm just gonna rephrase the question, avoiding the technical issue. So let her wipe herself. Let her wipe herself immediately after Bia to ascertain whether or not she's a Nida. And because she did it so immediately after the act of Bia, so now we could say with certainty that she was a nida b'shas bia, and therefore he is going to bring a carbon chatas. So igadami hachi by mine isha mashitivda gatzma kedelachay balei asham talui. Or the Gemara says, if you want, perhaps the question was not on the carbon chatas, but on the asham talui. Meaning, let's stay with the bedika, with the internal examination. At best, you could say maybe. So the Gemara says, okay, so say maybe. So you know what the halach is on a maybe. So you bring a carbon chatas. Sorry, wait, check that asham talui. It has to be one out of two.
Right.
That's a good question. Leave that question out of the discussion. It is a good question. There is an opinion in the Gemara, in Krisus, we learned together, that it has to be achas mishnei chatichos.
We're able to verify.
Good, very good. Leave that question out of this. No. Well, no. Hold on on all this. So Amar lo, lo tivdok v'tivdok, ma b'kach. So the Gemara says again, don't do it. No bedika. The Gemara says, "Tivdak ma'bekach." What have you got to lose? And the Gemara says, "You have a lot to lose." Imkin libanok for parish. Again, it's the same idea. Meaning, it's the same answer that answers now the secondary question. The primary question was, "How about doing a bedika before tashma shemitah?" And the Gemara says, basically, no, don't do that because you're going to put fear in the man's heart. And even if you require bedika achar tashmish, again, don't do it. Why? Same reason. Because even if the husband's going to understand, in other words, he'll get used to it. After Tashmish, she immediately does a bedika to see whether or not maybe she was in nida at the time. Maybe he needs to bring a carbon chatos. So again, it's the same answer of the Gemara. Don't do it, because once the husband realizes that B is going to end with a bedika, he's going to say, oh no, she may be a nida. And again, the fear in his heart is going to prevent the husband and wife from having relations, and that's not a good thing. Okay, good. Now, just a technical issue. The Gemara kept saying, and he needs to bring a carbon chatas, and he needs to bring a carbon chatas.
What about her?
Yeah, what about her? All right, doesn't she need to bring a carbon chatas? Yeah.
He pays for it.
It's so funny, by the way. You say that as a joke. That's true. That's, again, Rabbi Kornfeld's notes. He brings this up as well. And he says, yeah, he says that when the Gemara says he brings a carbon chatas, he means she also does, and it also means she pays for it. Correct. He pays for it. He pays for the He pays for her carbon chatzis. Did you? I didn't know this. He quotes.
She normally would not have any money.
He quotes the Ritva. He says, "Gam he chayeves kamohu ela mimneshu hu mechay bekarbanos she ishto chayeves." Right? He has to pay for her karbanos. Part of the husband's responsibility. Right. He quotes, I'll tell you, he quotes places which obviously are beyond my purview. He quotes the Sidrei Tara on this, and he says, oh, look at Negayim. Look in the Mishnayos and Negayim. Okay, good. The 14th perek of Negayim. It's right there. Uvishashi Hioveris. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Anai. The Zuhu Eidan Shol Tznuos. Now, these are they're given a term, Eidan Shol Tznuos. In other words, when she does a bedika for her husband, and let's remember, she's only doing bedika for her husband because she's also a suka b'taharos, and so therefore she's also required to do bedika while having relations with her husband. They're called Eidan Shol Tznuos. Now, Amalei Rabbi Abba Bar Mamla Rabbi Amma Tana Tanit Tzrichos V'atanit Tznuos. Now, the word tznuos means modesty. Meaning, she's a very modest woman because she's using these cloths, these examination cloths. The Gemara just is bothered right now by the terminology. Why are you calling her tznua? Meaning, there's a requirement for her to do bedika. So don't give this fluffy terminology of tznua. Oh, the very modest women do it. It's not the very modest women. It's baseline halacha. And when a woman is dealing with taharos, she needs to do an examination for her husband. The chachamim demand it. So why using the term tznua? Amar lei shani amar kol mekayim divrei chachamim nikra tznua. He says, yeah, because I like the terminology. When people listen to the chachamim, they're called the tznua. Amar aviv shenim mekayim divrei chachamim tznua hu delo mikre ha rasha lo mikre. Yeah, but it's misleading though, because if you're using terminology like tznua, it sounds like, well, if they don't listen to the chachamim, so then you're immodest. You're a lot more than immodest, right? It just right, Rasha lo mikra, you're not called a Rasha, meaning it gives off a bad implication. It sounds like by not listening to the Chachamim, you're a non-Sanua.
What do they call them, Prutzas?
In other words, should be stronger language being used. El Amarava, Tznuos. So Rava says like this. In other words, he's going to defend the fact that it's called Sanua, and he's going to defend it by giving a different explanation. Now, the tznua women will always use a fresh new cloth. And the she'enam tznuas, now the non-tznua women, they will use the same cloth more than once. And that's where it's, now you understand the terminology of tznua. Meaning, is that okay? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. If blood was found on it and then she reuses it, not only is that not okay, that's foolish. Right, correct. In other words, but the idea of reusing a cloth, even though the cloth is quote-unquote okay, even though nothing came on the cloth the first time, it's not tznua. It's tznua to use a fresh cloth every time. Gufa. I'm Rabbi Zeira, I'm Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmi, I'm Shmuel, Isha Shein Lavest, Asur Lishamesh, Ad Shetivdok. A woman who does not have a fixed schedule cannot be with her husband until she does a bedika. Now, note, who says this? Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiah in the name of Shmuel. Same Shmuel, when we start off today's daf, says that when she's with her husband, there's no requirement for a bedika. Amalei Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiah, in laves by bedika, yesh laves lo by bedika. So the so if she does not have a vest, she requires a bedika. But if she has a vest, she does not require a bedika. Amalei yesh laves era by bedika. So he says like this. If she has a fixed cycle and she's awake, so then she should do a bedika. But Yeshena, but if she's sleeping, lo by bedika, so then you don't have to bother waking her up to do an examination. I know what the issue is. I'll get to it in just a second. Give me a moment. So ein la vest, but if she does not have a fixed cycle, bein era ben Yeshena by bedika. But if she does not have a fixed cycle, so whether she's awake or whether she's asleep, she still is going to need to do an examination. Amar Rava, v'lema le yesh laves letaharos by bedika, labala lo by bedika. So Rava says, well, why don't you say the following? That if she has a vest, if she has a fixed cycle, so letaharos, she requires a bedika, but for her husband she does not require a bedika. But ein laves, but if she does not have a fixed cycle, afilu labala nami by bedika. Now, why didn't he say this? Because the original statement that was made in the name of Shmuel was only for taharos. But if it's just for a husband, no bedika is required, not even for a woman who has an irregular cycle. Okay. Now, So basically, this statement to Shmuel is conforming to what we saw earlier, that if taharos is not in the picture, so no bedika is required, even for a woman, shein laves kavua. Okay. Now, the obvious issue, which I'll just touch on quickly, and that is the following. Sleeping, meaning having relations with your wife is sleeping. Okay, in other words, emotional issues and just ben adam l'chaveru issues. But it's also, the Gemara in Nida doesn't talk about it, but the Gemara in Nedarim does talk about it. The Gemara in Nedarim, it's on Daf Chaf, right? End of the first parak? I think so. Okay, you could check me up after. Anyway, the Gemara in Nedarim talks about the conditions in which a man should be with his husband. Sorry? A man should be with his wife. Okay. And there are nine. Again, you'll check me up afterwards. Obviously, I didn't look up the Gemara recently. There are nine different circumstances where a husband should not be with his wife. If they're angry at one another, or if he's thinking about another woman, right? You get the sense, meaning it should be a very intimate act between husband and wife, and it should be under very good conditions. And one of the things the Gemara over there mentions is she shouldn't be asleep. She shouldn't be asleep. So the obvious issue now is that our Gemara kind of like nonchalantly says, well, if she's sleeping and she has a vest kavua, so then she doesn't need to do a bedika. Like, it's like so nonchalant from our Gemara, like, wait a second, he shouldn't be with her when she's sleeping.
How does she do a bedika while she's asleep?
Huh? No, I have to wake her up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what our Gemara is doing is it's like just so nonchalantly, like just like running over that issue, like, oh, you know what? She's sleeping, she doesn't need to do bedika. But they shouldn't be having relations altogether. Tosfos, Bein Yeshenos. Tosfos deals with this issue. Perush, Deleke Iser Nidus. Aval Iser Lavo Al HaYeshena Kedama Menadarim. So Tosfos says simply, look, our Gemara is very focused. Our Gemara is just talking about the Isser of Nida. Good. So, but in other words, but there's another Isser to contemplate. And by the way, the language of Tosfos is very strong and very clear. There's an Isser, a separate Isser, of a man being with his wife while she's sleeping. Our Gemara is kind of just like running right over that issue, right? Fine. Tosfos says, that's fine, because our Gemara is only focused on the issue of Nida. But then there's another issue that you have to take into consideration altogether, which is the issue of a man's not allowed to be with his wife when she's sleeping. Okay, good. So in other words, and you see this line of thinking that the Gemara sometimes is just very focused. We're learning Masechet Nida, we're focused just on the issue of Nida. Then when you're learning the end of Nedarim, there's another issue to think about, which our Gemara is not thinking about. Okay? That's one approach of Tosfos. Tosfos does, in fairness, Tosfos does give another approach. Inami hachi lo legamer b'yishemi ari, ela ina era kokach shetei de lahashiv imhi tahora im lav. Tosfos talks about some state of consciousness where she's not awake, she's not sleeping, she's somewhere in between. Okay, where she's awake enough for you don't violate the Isser of Nedarim, but she's not awake enough where she can actually think of whether she's Tahara or not Tahara. Okay, that's... I enjoy the first answer because the first answer is a little more fundamental. It's a little more, it deals with the issue more fundamentally. Here the second answer tries to work out the two Gemaras side by side. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue in the Gemara on Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, and we're towards the bottom. The Amud Chamarim, Upoalim, Va'abayim mi Beis Ha'avam, mi Beis Ha'mishta, Nisheyem lahem b'ches kastahara, Uvayim v'shoyinim mahem bein yishenos, Ubein eros. Workers who come back from long trips, your donkey drivers, your workers, somebody's coming out back from a Beis Avel. In other words, they come back from a long trip, so they can go home and they can be with their wives, whether they're awake or whether they're asleep. And again, it's the same story. Mm-hmm. Meaning this Brisa also just kind of, right, doesn't seem to take into consideration the Gemara Nedarim, And again, you go back to the Tosfos that we just went through. But all this is only true. This is still a continuation of the Braisa. This is only going to be true when they left their wives in the state of Tahara. But when they come back, I'm sorry, when they leave their wives while she was a Nida, and then they come back, she has to articulate and say, I was a Nida, but I'm no longer a Nida. I did my medikos. Nowadays, I guess you have to say also, I did my Shiva Nikim. You don't have to say that, but in other words, I went through the process, and I told them the mikvah, and Tahara Ani. Now, that is a Braisa. So far, so good. Vashmul b'may mukila. Now, the Gemara says, now, according to Shmuel, how is this going to work? Ish, ishla vest, kasha era. Now, if she has a fixed cycle, remember, Shmuel said just about 10 lines ago, even away, she doesn't need to do bedika. V'bishen lavest, kasha ben era ben yeshena. And if she does not have a fixed cycle, so then she always needs to do bedika. La'olam b'sheish lavest, v'kemesh tavua, ein lecha bedika gedola mizat. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, because what we'll say is that she has a vest. And once he was Toveya, that's equivalent to a Bedika. Meaning if he solicits his wife, so now she understands. Oh, okay, fine. So then she'll do a Bedika. Ein lecha Bedika gedola mizeh. That is tantamount to a Bedika. Now, Rashi contemplates the idea that maybe the Tviya by itself actually replaces the Bedika, but Rashi says, I can't imagine. I can't imagine that's it. It just simply means that once he's Toveya, so then she understands, and either she already did a Bedika, or she's now going to go do a Bedika. Amalev Papa L'Rava Ma'ola Me'aved Ki Hamas Nisa. Rav Papa asks Rava the following question, and that is, when a man has relations with his wife, should she do a Bedika? Now, I know it sounds like we've been down this road before. It sounds like the entire daf today was dedicated to this question. Good. We're going to continue. So Rav Papa asked Rava, so should we follow this Braisa that we just learned, that she should be doing a Bedika? So Amar Leh, so he says to him, Sudani. Sudani is a nickname for a Talmud Chacham. Rashi says, Sod Hashem, Lirei Av. Right, those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu know secrets. They know things. So he says, Sudani, lo. The answer is unequivocally no. The Meganya Bape. Meaning because she will become repulsive to him by her having to do a Bedika. And no, the Gemara says you shouldn't do it. Amarav Kahana Shaltin La Insha Base Derav Papa Udarav Hunabre Derav Yeshua. Now I know this is going to sound slightly off. It's going to sound slightly inappropriate. But Rav Kahana says, I asked the wives of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, Ki Asa Rabbana Mebe Rav, when the Talmidei Chachamim were coming home from Yeshiva, Matzre Chelechu Bedika, right, do they require you to do a Bedika? V'amru li, lo. And they say, no, husbands didn't require a Bedika. You were also, I was thinking the same thing as well. He's right. He's absolutely right.
He did a lot of field research.
Right, Rav Kahana was, yeah, he was of a certain personality. V'lishai lainu lidhidu. So wonders the Gemara, okay, it's a personal question. I understand. He was interested in the halachic nature of the question. I also get that as well. You couldn't ask the husbands. You couldn't ask the husbands. You had to ask the wives. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma inu kamechmir nafshayu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, because perhaps they were machmir on themselves, meaning the they themselves are matzrich bedika for their wives. Umorim la'acherim heter kehilchasa." Meaning, when other people are coming to them and asking them bedika, yes or no, they're gonna say no. But for their own personal behavior and conduct, they're machmir on themselves. And so that's why, by asking the wives, they would know for sure whether or not this was their own personal practice.
Yeah, but the Kahana wasn't asking specifically for them. They're asking in general the question, so they would have answered in general, no.
It seems from the Gemara he was asking specific to them. He wanted to know what they did.
It's like those people that sneak into the Rebbe and he doesn't know they're there.
Right, we're going to see things like that. Dan Rabbanan. Ish shein lavest astor la shamish. Okay, well, let me Okay, before I run ahead. Okay, we're about to learn certainly one of the most interesting brises in the first parak of Nida. It's an extraordinarily interesting brisa. What we're about to learn, context. Let me try to provide a little bit of context over here. And I'll give some context a little bit later on as well. It seems, now, I don't know this to be so, so I'm right now just speculating. It seems that B'Shas HaGemara and B'Shas HaMishnah, most women had a vest kavua. Yeah. It seems that way. So that women were running on a regular schedule, it was clockwork. Now, I can also make that comment just basically on the amount of time our Masechta deals with a vest kavua. Meaning that you'll see, most of the time, the default assumption is that the women have a vest kavua. And those women who do have an irregular schedule, so they're the, you know, they're the oddballs in the discussion. Now, nowadays, Bismanenim, I would say, and again, I'm not empirical over here, I'm not saying this because I have actual statistics, but just, you know, in other words, Libi Omer Li, that most women nowadays are not working on such a regular schedule. So I say that as a way of contextualizing the upcoming brisa. Okay, it's going to be interesting. It's all interesting, but I'm saying, but I'd rather not. Isha she'in la vest. Now, for the woman who does not have a fixed cycle, asur l'shamesh, she can't have relations with her husband. Okay, again, just one other word of introduction. This is going to be the opinion of Reb Meir. Is that going to help? Yeah. A little bit, yeah. Rabbi Meir. Meaning the Tana we know and love. The student of Rabbi Akiva. So asur l'shamesh, she can't be with her husband because she's a regular, she has no idea when her Pesach Nida is going to come. Okay. Ve'ein la lo ksuva v'lo peiros v'lo mizonos v'lo belos. And now that she's not even afforded her ksuva, meaning her husband's going to have to divorce her, and she does not get the benefit of a ksuva, and she doesn't get peiros, and she doesn't get mizonos, and she doesn't get belos. These are all the provisions that a husband provides for his wife, and she doesn't get that as well. Ve'yotzi v'lo machzi olamis, and he must divorce her, and not only that. But at the time of divorce, it's made clear to him, you will never take her back. You can never take her back. Divrei Rav Meir, this is all the position of Rav Meir. Now, you want to connect this with Rav Meir Lashitaso, Rav Meir's Choshesh Lemiyuta. You could do that. I see in Rabbi Kornfeld's notes, others have done that as well. And that means, basically, that Rav Meir is always worried about the most, what we would call insignificant. He doesn't believe in insignificant. Meaning, even if there is a small percentage chance that she will become a Nida, you have to take that into consideration, and therefore, you always have to be worried that maybe she's going to start her Nida since she's not operating on a fixed schedule. And therefore, she needs to get a divorce, and she actually forfeits her ksuva. Again, all this is according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Chanina, wait. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer, Mishamsha b'shnei Edim. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tikna says, here's what she'll do. She'll do Bedika. And Hain Avsua, Hain Tiknua. And she will, I'm going to be a little dramatic in the way I say this, she will live or die by the Bedika. I said it dramatically. I didn't need to be that dramatic. But in other words, you understand? In other words, she'll do Bedikas before and after. And if the Bedikas come out clean, good. And if the Bedikas don't come out clean, then she's got an issue. And finally,
the
last...
The woman can never get married, basically.
Well, hold it. Misha... okay, I know. I told you, it's going to be interesting. Mishum Abba Hanan Amru, Oy Lo Labala. Now, and they send the name of Abba Hanan, woe to her husband. Now, this is not an editorial. Meaning, whenever you learn a brisa and you see a statement like this, don't read it as an editorial. It sounds like an editorial. Like, woe to her husband. Like, he's commenting. He's not just commenting, he's making a halachic statement. What is the halachic statement he's making? Stay tuned. The Gemara later on will try to explain this. Now, step by step, we're going to go and dissect Rav Meir's position. Okay? And it's very simple. Meaning, asur l'shamesh, dilma mekal kelesle. Because... You're not allowed to be mishamish because there's a chance, there's a possibility that she's going to become a Nida. Good. Next. Again, same lashonos that we had on the Amud Aleph. The ain laksuva. So kevin delochazi labia leisaksuva. Meaning, because she's not fit to have bia, so therefore she's not tatur ksuva. I guess you could throw around the terminology of mekach taus. Meaning, he assumed that when he married a wife, it's so that he could have bia with her, and because he can't, so therefore, she forfeits her ksuva. Volo pears, volo mazonos, volo belos, tanai ksuva, kiksuva dame. Now, I'm not going to go into detail. I could, but I'm not going to. I'm looking at the clock. So, but in other words, all these provisions of the husband to his wife, part of tanai ksuva, and so therefore, because she forfeits her ksuva, she forfeits those provisions as well. The yosiv lo yachzor olam is pshita. So the Gemara says, now, he divorces her and he can never remarry her again. Isn't that obvious? Meaning, if we're forcing him to divorce her, so why? What under what circumstances would he be able to remarry her? Why does Rav Meir need to tell us this? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because maybe after she got divorced, maybe then, right, she went to a therapist, and the therapist got her on a fixed schedule. Okay, which, again, from the Gemara, it sounds like it can happen. That she can fix her schedule. And now, after the divorce, she now fixes her schedule, and now can you imagine what the husband, what her former husband now is going to say? And the Gemara doesn't need us to imagine, Mao detema lehadra. Well, if that's the case, I'll take her back. Kamash Milan, the Zimnan da Aslam, Minsaba Mitakna. Because here's what may happen. And this may help you in terms of trying to understand how in the world would this woman ever get remarried again. Maybe she'll get remarried to another man. Umitakna, and she fixed her schedule. The Amar. And now her former husband is going to say, after she's already married to another man, oh my gosh, I never would have divorced her. I never would have divorced her. And he's now having charata on the get. Okay? And if this man is having charata on the get, now it's easy to have charata on the get before you give her the get. After you give her the get, it is more difficult to have charata on the get. And on top of that, she married somebody else. But nevertheless, though, I'm not sure halachically how this works, but he is now casting aspersion on the get. Nimsa get batel, ubanei hamamzerin. But if he successfully is able to mevatel the get, that means now that her marriage with this man was not a marriage. It turns out now that this children that she's having with this man now with her new husband turns out now to be a mamzerim. And so therefore, at the point of divorce, we say from her first husband, we say to him, never again. You may not marry her again, so that no longer can he ever cast any aspersion on the get. Okay. That is all an explanation of Rav Meir.
That happens in any case of divorce.
No. What do you mean? Under a normal divorce circumstance, when he's not a Kohen, he can actually remarry her. In fact, it's a mitzvah for him to remarry her.
No, but not after she married another person.
Okay, good. Right. I'm also struggling a little bit to explain how this charata works. I'm a little bit at a loss at how this charata works. Okay, I'm admitting it.
You go so basic and they say, oh yeah, the get wasn't a get.
Yeah, okay, right. Right, in other words, he's going to try. Somehow he's going to try to have to explain how this get was under false pretenses.
And basically doesn't know that she's remarried to someone else.
Okay, something along those lines.
I don't know where there's no blood, there's nothing. I mean, she went to a different country. More and never rejected.
Okay, it's again. Mishum Abachan and Amru Oilo Labala. Now, this last statement of the Brice, and by the way, the Gemara doesn't explain Rabbi Chanin ben Antignus because there's nothing to explain. Meaning Rabbi Chanin ben Antignus' position makes perfect sense. Meaning, look, she doesn't have a regular schedule, and she doesn't know when the next time is gonna come. It's okay, fine, so have be Mishamish with Edim. And she'll live or die by the Edim, by the examination clause. Fine. Now the Gemara goes on to that last statement of the Braisa, the statement of Abba Chanan, which is Oilo Labala. And the Gemara does not understand it as commentary. It is not social commentary. It is a halachic statement. Two understandings of what he was... First of all, who was he addressing? So, Igada Amri L'Reb Meir Amarle. So, according to one pshat, he is addressing Reb Meir. And Baye La'agvuye Ksuvasa. His one point of dispute with Rav Meir is the following. Look, Rav Meir, I'm basically with you, but here's what I don't agree with. She doesn't forfeit her ksuva. I think she's entitled to her ksuva. Okay? And so therefore, oilo labala, meaning woe to her husband because he has to divorce her and he has to pay her ksuva as well. That is, and I guess what they're arguing about is to what degree this is mekachtos, to which she has to, which she's, whether she's entitled to forfeit her ksuva.
Wait a second. When does he have to pay her ksuva?
When he divorces her.
But Rav Meir says no. Oh, so he's like Rav Meir, except he holds
it. He has to pay her ksuva. Another pshat is that he wasn't talking to the position of Rav Meir. He was talking to the position of Rabbi Chanan ibn Antignos. In other words, because the method of Rabbi Chanan ibn Antignos is a very risky method. Because basically, she's only going to be okay if the claws come out clean. But if the claws don't come out clean, so then it's not going to work out. Now, does he offer an alternative solution? No. But he just, I guess now it is a little more social commentary on this position, Rechanim Ben Antignos. I don't like it. Oilo Labala, meaning it's a dangerous position, it's a risky position. Now, what we have so far done is we've seen this very interesting brisa that talks about a woman with a regular schedule. According to Rav Meir, it's over. According to Rechanim Ben Antignos, it's not over, but she's going to have to be Meshamish with Eidim. And now we're going to take this entire brisa, and we gave a pshat in the last statement. Now we're going to take this entire brisa, and we're going to try to contextualize the entire brisa. So, Amalei Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halachik Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignos. So, first of all, we have a statement by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which is the halacha goes like Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignos. Now, the Gemara says, "Now wait a second. Now, yes, Mekel, but you see, there's a bedika that's required." Now, did we not start off our entire daf today by quoting Shmuel? I told you, remember, it's Shmuel. Did we not start off our entire daf today by saying that according to Shmuel, if it's just between her and her husband, no bedikah is required, period. And did we not also say that that's true whether she has a vest kavua or whether she does not have a vest kavua? Okay, so now what's going on over here? We're here in this brisa. The Gemara is quoting Shmuel and saying, you know who the halacha follows like? Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, which is the more lenient position, but there's still a bedika that's required. So that's the next lines of Gemara. Uvemai. Iba asuka b'taharos ha'amra Shmuel chadazimna. Now, if we're talking about a woman who's asuka b'taharos, so we know. Of course she requires a bedika. That we've already established that. And if it's Eina Suka Labal Bataros, so then we said there's never a Bedika required. Period. And we go back to a statement that we made earlier, which is that there's only a requirement of Bedika only when there's Taharos involved. But if there's no Taharos involved, there's no requirement for Bedika, period. Good. And even for a woman who does not have a regular schedule. So, man de masniha, lo masniha. The one who taught one statement to Shmuel did not teach the other statement to Shmuel. Now, truth of the matter is, I'm a limited amount of time. We could spend an hour more talking about that last line of the Gemara. Meaning, is it just that there were two statements made in the name of Shmuel, and even though it sounds like they are overlapping one over the other, one who heard this statement didn't hear the other statement? Or is there actually a point of disagreement in terms of what Shmuel's position actually is? Meaning that maybe there are actually two opinions of Shmuel that don't necessarily corroborate with one another. And you could take a look at Rashi, you could take a look at Tosfos, and that's just the beginning. There's a Rif, there's a Rambam, there's a lot of discussion over here, and actually some of it does translate to Halach Lamaisa. Okay, I'm not going to do it now, I just don't have the time to do it now. We're going to just move on to the next Perek, but just keep in mind though that last line of the Gemara, Ha Demas Niha, Lo Mas Niha, becomes very important in terms of knowing what the Halach Lamaisa actually is. It's safe to say, I'll tell you what, but one last point, and then we're going to go on. It's safe to say that Bizmanenu, we follow the basic premise of she does not require a bedika, meaning Taharos is no longer an issue. No woman is now dealing with Taharos, so therefore the woman does not require a bedika, even if she does not have a fixed schedule, even if it's a Vesha'ina Kavua, that's really your starting point for the discussion, but For more on this topic, however, you could see me after, and I'll give you more information. No, they're both coming from Shmuel, but not one. Right, correct. Okay, let's.
The fixed period is cannot be plus minus one day.
Huh?
The fixed period is absolute. It cannot be even plus.
Correct. The fluctuation of one day is not a fixed schedule. That's correct. We start the third. We start now the second parak of Nida, and we're now on Daf Yud Gimel. Now, very, very fascinating discussion that we're going to be talking about. The Isser of Hashchata Zeri, you're not allowed to waste seed. And how do I know this? The Mishnah says it. Kol ayad amar belivdok benashim mishubachas. Uva anashim tikatzeitz. A woman does bedika. We spent an entire first parak of Nida, 12 blot of Gemara, okay, 11 if you want to be slightly more precise, talking about a woman doing bedika, and we have basically the woman doing a lot of bedikas. Now again, if she's dealing with Tahara, she'll be doing bedikas all the time, twice every day, every time she has relations with her husband. A kahanas does it even more frequently. Okay, good. So the Mishnah says that when it comes to a woman doing a bedika, good. And the more bedikas that you do, also good. It's praiseworthy for a woman to do bedikas. But for a man to do a bedika on himself, his hand should be cut off. Now, that's strong language. I know it doesn't sound like our religion. Okay, and it's. We'll talk about the language of the Mishnah later on in the Gemara. Okay, stay tuned later on. Mishnah Nashim, Mishnah Anashim. The Gemara's question right now is very simple. What's the difference? Why is it that by a woman we're encouraging her to do bedikas, and by a man we're saying basically no, don't do bedikas? So Mishnah Nashim, Mishnah Anashim. Nashim lav benos hargasha ninu mishubachos. Anashim debene hargasha ninu tikatzeis. The Gemara says it's physiological. For a woman, for her to do a bedika, it doesn't stimulate her. And so therefore, for her, the only thing that it does is informs us whether or not she's a nida, she's not a nida. So the only thing that comes out of it is information, which is good. That's what we want. But for a man, however, the danger is they are b'nei argasha. It stimulates the man, which may lead to hashchata zera. And so therefore, for the man, it is not condoned, it's condemned. Now, kiketani marbe, so, and when the Mishnah, I'm sorry, ihachi my irya marbe, kilo marbe nami, so the Gemara says, so then I'm just bothered by the language of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, kol hayad hamarbe livdo, for a woman, let her do a lot of examinations, for a man, not a lot. What?
Right.
The language is off, meaning it should be more than just not a lot, it should be none, never. So the Gemara says, so ihachi ma yirya marbe kilo marbe nami ki ketani marbe anashim. Tricky Gemara to read. When it says marbe, it's going on the women, right? The aleph in the front is a prefix. It's not the word. It's anashim, it's going on the women. Meaning, the term marbe is just for the women. The contrast, however, is not to be taken literally. Meaning for men, it's not a lot. It's never. Tana b'medvar mamor li'in shech v'zera v'al inyan zovaf hu mishubach kanashim. This is only talking about vis-a-vis shech v'zera. But when it comes to his zov, meaning if a man wants to discover whether or not he is a zov, which is also a discharge that the man has, but it is a it's a different type of discharge. I don't know how to describe it. Gonorrhea is the term that's thrown around, although I'm not sure if that's precise. Whatever the case is, it's a different type of discharge altogether. For that, it's fine. Now, if a man wants to use either a tzur or cheres, some stone or pottery, so that could be used, but in other words, not with his hand. Just do a little bit more. How about a matlis? How about a cloth? So, bodek atzma b'matlis v'chol davar sherotze. So, I'm sorry, v'hatanya. The Braisa says, yeah, you could use a cloth. So when we say matlis, we're talking about a thick cloth. Thick cloth is okay, because then the man is not going to be as stimulated. But if it's a thin cloth and the man's going to be stimulated, so then out of the question, no. Let's pause over here. Okay, good. At least I got now to today's daf. I got into today's daf. Okay, tomorrow we finish up the first sugya. Okay, and hopefully we'll catch up even further tomorrow.